right where we are.
Marvellous. Still to come on the show, William Sitwell and Alan Stevens. And much more exciting. We haven't actually mentioned, of course, Emma Tennyson. Emma, hopefully you're feeling well, because I know when we parted last night at 7 o'clock, she was all right then, but who knows? You know, it could just be a case of she couldn't face another day with Jared Johnson.
She wouldn't be the first.
Well, she'd probably be shorthanding as we speak, really. It's all very important. Up next, William Sitwell, of course, who indirectly used to be Jared's boss.
Consequences. Altered cases, broken noses, altered faces, my ego altered, altered egos, wherever I go, so does me. The tunnel of love, the tunnel of love, in the tunnel of love.
Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. For culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend who is William Sitwell.
Absolutely, Rachel. I couldn't have said it better myself. Isn't that right, William Sitwell? Broadcasting legend in every sense.
Your sense, it's improved, I think, with age. Yeah. You first played it last week.
I know. You see, sometimes you just have to let it bed down into the system and then, whoa, magic happens. Our two fine souls from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society have had to leave us to move back to preparing for Countryside Links and all the other fabulous things that they're actually involved with. Of course, we haven't even talked about their comedy curry nights. You got curry, you got comedy, you've got comedy, you got curry. It's like curry-dy for the evening, which is fantastic stuff. In fact, they've already had one on the 20th of February. So there'll be more coming up as far as that's concerned. Model railway exhibitions are happening. But, William, I do believe, in fact we'll test this with Jessica Ward and Jared in the studio at present, butter in coffee, Jessica. Do you think that's a way to sort of stay fit, butter in coffee?
Well, I'm not a fan of coffee, and butter mixed with coffee sounds doesn't even more unpleasant.
Yeah, okay, Jared, butter and
coffee? Well, I don't like coffee, but butter might make me like
it. As a fad diet, which is the topic that William's going to be focusing on today, you'd think, surely not. I mean, the Daily Mail have taken it, which, good grief, we know what they we know what they said about Jennifer Aniston and the Academy Awards in the first hour of the programme. So, you know, that was Richard Fitzwilliams. Where are you going to take us, William? Butter in coffee? Surely some mistake.
Yeah, this is a sort of one of those strange art food trends that were doing the rounds about 6 months ago, and the Mail have picked up on it today. The idea is that it's the new way to stay slim or to get slim, which is to put butter on your coffee. And I think it slightly follows this report that came out a couple of weeks ago, which I think emanated from the States, that was really saying that the advice that came out in the early 80s in America and then over in Europe and the UK, that we should avoid, you know, fat, like we should avoid dairy, and we should avoid cheese, and we should avoid butter. And the big problem was that it actually was misleading advice, because actually good fat is good for you. And bottom line is, you know, a lot of, I think there's an argument that a lot of people have become, a lot of the reason for the obesity crisis is that people have actually had far too much cholesterol. But anyway, you know, the key is moderation. I mean, I personally think that, I think it's obvious that over the last few decades, we have ingested far too much wheat, far too much dairy. I was talking to one of the, there's a new duo on the scene who are brilliant in terms of health, the Hemsley sisters, and they were saying to me the other day that if you think about it, you have far too much wheat. So you might have cereal for breakfast, and you might have a piece of toast, then you might have a sandwich for lunch, and you might have pasta for supper, for dinner. And you're just eating wheat all through the day. And we're consuming too much processed wheat, processed dairy. And actually, our bodies were not made for this. And if you look at some of the skulls of people dug up in the Pacific Islands, they didn't have any rotten teeth. They had very good teeth, but they weren't using toothpaste. So I think the idea of putting butter in your coffee, I'm not quite sure how it's supposed to make you lose weight, but probably better than sloshing in a load of milk. And the other thing is also that a lot of these big coffee chains, you know, what they're just serving you is basically flavoured milk, you know, litres of this stuff. And you can't get a decent cup of coffee if you stop at a service station in Britain these days. think it's probably better to swash in just a little dab of full-fat butter into your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry that your two other guests in the studio today don't like coffee. I mean,
well,
coffee is a whole world of excitement. Shed aside these ridiculous prejudices.
It saves me a lot of money, not liking coffee.
I mean, it does look and smell amazing, but when I go to taste it, it's quite deceiving.
See, I don't like the smell.
Okay.
Puts me
off. So what are you drinking instead? Milk? You have water?
No, I have herbal tea instead.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Or water.
No. Coffee shouldn't cost too much. I'm not, you don't have to necessarily grind your own beans. I think what is expensive is buying coffee in high street chains.
Yeah.
And that is a rip-off. I mean, you're paying,
You're paying for the experience. It's the lifestyle.
Basically...
Yeah, you get more bean for your buck, don't you, basically? Other stores are available. And it costs us too much, really, so it's just, avoid that thing entirely, really. It's, anyway, plus, of course, it's Wi-Fi. Anyway, enough of such material. Jessica, obviously, you're delighted that you're sitting on the new chair in the studio.
Oh, very much so. It's very comfy.
I don't know if it's Soho Radio, William, you get very excited about when a new chair actually emerges, or indeed even a waitress.
Oh, if only. We sit on these sort of really uncomfortable stools.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not the lap of luxury, but it's the magic you create. The listeners.
Precisely.
That's it.
Precisely.
But, we sit there, we pretend we're sort of lounging on very deep leather sofas surrounded by low-level lighting and butlers bringing us glasses of sherry on trays and little canapés. And that's the atmosphere we like to send out there, despite the fact that actually it's a complete tip, nothing works, and we're playing the music off iPhones.
But it's the illusion of success that actually sort of works through the whole magic, and that's the classic routine. Did you follow any of the Oscars or the Brit Awards, or did you? I mean, was it just a case of you say enough already? I've got my award. That's all that the world needs to know. Thank you very much.
You know what? I actually think I find the Oscars rather distasteful. I mean, nothing to take away from the brilliant Eddie Redmayne, who's obviously very charming, very good actor. But I think there's a real serious problem at the moment in this country and almost globally, in that we place so much credit and we laud people for being actors, and because we like watching them on telly and it gives us some pleasure, whereas we spend the rest of our time tearing down the edifices of and people's careers who've actually spent their lives in public service. So on the day that the sweet Eddie Redmayne gets his Oscar and everyone thinks he's wonderful, and I wouldn't take him away from that. I wouldn't want to remove that credit. Two senior politicians who've actually dedicated themselves to public service have their careers destroyed in a complete non-story when nothing's actually happened. So I would rather speak out for
Malcolm Rifkin and others.
I seriously would, and say sod the actors. I couldn't care less.
There we have it. I know, William, it would not sort of be appropriate for us to leave this link without asking Jared who won in the battle between the parties last week in the football match between the Tories and the Labour Party. So the world needs to know, Jared, what was the score?
It was 9-2, so a very emphatic win for the Conservatives.
Oh, well, congratulations.
has David Cameron got on the case as yet?
I'm sure he's been informed, and he'll be sending over his entourage to congratulate
the victors. So celebrate, and in the words of a famous Tory leader, rejoice. So perhaps I won't go there. William, fantastic as ever, and very thought provoking, and a nice counterbalance, I think, to Richard's eulogising of the Oscars, which I had to sort of tease a number of times, but I think you raised a few very pertinent points there. Maybe we should just offer Richard some butter in his coffee as opposed to taking that other fizzy drink that he tends to. Sorry, Richard. Anyway, I know you're back on the whole thing. Jessica, actually, where are you today, William? We always like to find out where in the world are you?
I'm standing by a place called the Turquoise Island. Which houses a florist, and it's on Westbourne Grove in London. And I've actually had breakfast in a very, very nice cafe, deli shop called Daleson, which is an extremely upmarket chain of very beautiful cafes that have sprung off the organic farm that the Bamford family have in Gloucestershire. So, yeah, I think variegated in black Americana, some rather nice scrambled eggs on toast with some bacon. Ready for the day.
Have you heard of the rumours that there's going to be an owl kind of exhibition in a cafe, I think, in London?
An,
I don't know much.
An owl
they're
exhibition?
They're going to have owls in their cafe.
To eat?
Not to eat, no. Exhibition.
What to help you with your owl?
You know.
Is this twit twoo as an owl? Is all children all screaming owl? I can't quite hear.
As in twit twoo, yes.
Do you know what? There is something about an owl that makes you stop and pause. And I saw a sculpture of an owl on top of a building this morning, and I looked at it, and I felt rather calm about it. And walking down the path into our village, and a tawny owl flew right overhead. Beautiful thing, looked me in the eye. It was magical thing. I think there's something rather special about owls.
Mm.
And when I was in my late teens, I worked at Harrods for a brief spell, and I used to sell these owls dressed up as sort of professors and policemen. And I used to answer the phone going, owl department.
Nice.
And if this is a rumour, let it happen.
There we are.
Mm.
I think more cafes should have owl exhibitions. I think the world would be a better place.
If only to catch the mice and rodents that some cafes are infested
yeah.
with.
No, we do.
But, you know, they are natural predators, so good to see. Okay, and the final two questions, Jessica, remain.
Have you enjoyed this morning's midweek edition?
Very much so.
Mm.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future, William?
I look forward to it.
There we are, you see, next week. And do you want to tease ahead to your Soho Radio Tuesday slot?
Oh, yeah, we've got Greg Wallace on the programme next
week. Yeah, there's Greg Wallace, Master Chef, of course. I would say give him my best, but he won't remember the piece he did with me a few years, but, you know, I'd say that.
Well, I was having breakfast, remember, once, and I put him on.
Exactly.
Had him on your show.
Yeah, exactly.
Him on your show before you've had him, I've had him on my
well,
show.
Yeah, well, what would you give him our authentic seal of approval and say it's high time he returned. Not that he could ever replace your good self, but it's important to keep us going. That's the important thing. Bob Seger, Silver Bullet Band, taking us around to Alan Stevens. As we say, William Sitwell, we salute you. The wonderful events coming up, and not to John Wynne Events Diaries yet. He hasn't put it in because he doesn't work quite as far ahead as May the 6th, but on Wednesday, May the 6th, at the University of Lincoln Engine Shed, your chance to meet Shane Rimmer, the original voice of Scott Tracy from this movie Thunderbirds, the series Thunderbirds, Richard Edwards, editor-in-chief of the world's premier science fiction magazine, SFX, Sam Stone, author, creator of the Cat Lightfoot Mysteries, back on the show, of course, in a couple of weeks' time, Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens, co-authors of a series of books from The Prisoner, Blake 7 to Battlestar Galactica. We are talking about telefantasy and society, and we're delighted to actually say, Alan Stevens, you're online now, aren't you, sir?
Yes.
Yeah,
hello.
Exactly. Now, Alan, you, I don't think I've actually had the joy of meeting Jared Johnson, our very own JJ, from Newark, and indeed Arsenal supporting chap, who possibly has never enjoyed the delights of Blake 7, Doctor Who, The Prisoner, or Battlestar Galactica. I don't know. Jared, have you?
I'm a Doctor Who fan.
Oh.
Not an avid one, so don't try and quiz me, because I probably won't know. But
you should have seen the fear in his eyes, Alan, as he sort of suddenly, after he said, I'm a Doctor Who fan, and then suddenly backs off, you know, whoa.
But no, it's just that I know quite a few Doctor Who fans, and I think I know a lot about it, and then I'm just blown away with, you know.
I mean, is that your experience, Alan? I mean, as a Doctor Who scholar of times past, as a writer, an author, contributor to Doctor Who Monthly and so on, do you sometimes sort of feel, just got to drop my Doctor Who credentials, otherwise, you know, sometimes it's not appropriate to wave them in public?
I'm trying to get that visual image in my head. I'm not sensitive about anything. If someone asks you something about Doctor Who, and I'll tell them or whatever, you know. I don't. Some fans like to keep their fandom quiet because they might feel it.
keep
really
it in, keep it in that cupboard, you know, with the rest of the stuff.
Silence will fall.
In that closet.
Very good. A little reference there, Jessica, to one of the recent Doctor's enemies, the Silence.
Mm.
And of course, we'll be joined by Professor Richard Hand. We'll be talking about horror adaptation in American television. Ed Fortune, chief comics writer at Starburst magazine. John Jarrell, the science fiction literary agent who commissioned the Gerry Anderson biography, and the son of Gerry Anderson himself, Jamie Anderson, should be with us as well, together with Graham Harper. Although hopefully with more success than as he hasn't answered his telephone this morning. Well, his answer phone has answered his telephone. Unusual, because he's normally pretty good at that basis. Anyway, Alan, would you like to talk about what you'll be providing for this particular paper and conference, together with that lovely, wonderful soul who is Fiona Moore from Royal Holloway College London, who's currently in Germany?
Okay. I mean, we sent it last week, didn't we?
You did, yes.
And is it okay? Have you read it?
It is superlative. A couple of typos, but other than that, very good indeed, yes.
A couple of typos?
No, it was... Don't worry about it. It was okay. It's fine from that point. Talk to us about the way in which you're sort of expanding this universe, because it's a sort of thing which I think Jared and Jessica should both have in their diaries right now. May the 6th, there's a must-attend thing.
Send it back to me and I'll, with those typos, okay. Mark, and I'll
okay.
correct them.
Okay.
I hate typos.
Yeah, okay. Let it lie, Alan. Talk to us about the content.
I kind of thought that basically we'd try and cover everything
yeah.
we'd done.
Yes.
Plus, you know, Space 1999, yep. UFO and Captain Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. So there you are. So everyone should be happy.
Exactly.
Everyone has prizes.
It's going to be the middle-ranging side of things, because we start off with Professor Richard
Star
Hand. Professor Richard Hand launched us the day. Then we have a sort of a general breakout group and probably a couple of panel discussions. Then you're sort of middle of the day, Alan, together with Fiona, on this range of stories, which... Again, it's looking very healthy in terms of the sort of sequence. But I suspect Jerry might say, but he's told us absolutely nothing about what he's actually said. You know, in terms of if we were to turn around about the content for this particular side of things, he would say nothing from that sort of point of view. Do you want to elaborate any more, Alan, or is that going to be left?
I'm trying to remember what I said. What did I say? I think we cover we don't cover Doctor Who, because no. Everyone will be doing that.
Yes.
So we start off with Star Wars, don't we, and go on about.
Yes.
How Star Wars can be read as a kind of a tale of the American Civil War or whatever, and how various narratives fit with that. And then mm-hmm. we moved into was it Battlestar Galactica?
You do indeed do the original 1970s Battlestar Galactica, yes.
And went on about how that was a kind of early neocon philosophy. And then mm-hmm. we moved to Blake 7, where we were sort of like that was a British show, which was a.
In May 2014, a Twitter thread circulated briefly on the internet, later entitled The People's History of Tatooine. It reimagined the Tatooine sequences of Star Wars A New Hope, such that Obi-Wan Kenobi is seen as a racist old man living unhappily in a multicultural neighbourhood. A few quotations from the thread suggest a new interpretation to Obi-Wan's behaviour in the film. And we go on to actually...
Yeah, go on, let's have a few.
We could have Tim Carmody, the Sand People, have a rich cultural history that's led them to survive and thrive under spectacularly awful conditions. You could have Francis Huang, the Sand People used to know their place until those imperial carpetbaggers came here and started putting ideas in their heads. And we move on to discuss the whole notion of Star Wars can be seen as a form of myth-building... Hello. For a scientific generation taking the heroic deeds of classical mythology and recasting them in technological guises. In doing so, it also draws on more recent American origin myths, such as the myths of the frontier, of World War II, and the American Revolution. There we have
goodness
it.
And that's
me.
Why most of the officer corps in Star Wars speaks with an English accent.
Yeah. Yeah, because of the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the well-worn phrase that actually fell into the vernacular that there was never a line where the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere contained the words, the British are coming. It was, the regulars are coming. Because as everybody was British then, saying the British are coming would have been pointless.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I think we covered that extremely well, really, in terms of the
awesome
package.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I could have done it better myself.
Well, there we are.
I didn't.
Jessica. Any questions or thoughts that you'd like to throw to the guru of CaldorCity.com?
My book's it, by the way. It's come out at last. Battlestar Galactica, Volume 2.
There we are.
Or even 650 pages.
Even his latest book, which has finally been published.
Yes, tell us more about your book, please.
And due to a printing mess up by Telos, it's been so currently. The first edition is out for $15.99, not when it should have been $19.99. So they've got to take a hit there, but never mind. It's all good for people who want to buy the book, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, very good. Available on that. Available through CaldorCity.com?
Well, it's available through Telos Publishing. Okay. I mean, you come to us, we'll send you on to them.
Well,
you know.
There we are. And indeed, as David Howe and Sam Stone from Telos Publishing will be in the Midweek Drive a week on Wednesday, you know, clearly, you know, Jessica will be saying, oi, what about that $15.99? Should you have marked it up tonight? No, it won't be embarrassing. we don't want to go on air with respect to that. It's okay. Anyway, Sam Stone
well,
is
it's
actually...
Well, okay. He said it on the internet, so I think he's quite happy to use that as publicity.
Well, Sam Stone is actually going to be in the studio. Well, actually, she won't be in the studio. She'll be on the telephone at this time in 168 hours.
So from not now. In the studio then?
No, not in the studio, but she will be in Lincoln on the first Saturday in March.
Oh, why? Okay. Really? Why? What's that for?
Because she'll be promoting her little book, Jinx. Which
oh,
is,
yeah.
Yes.
But a cat?
No.
Oh.
Not cat like.
She's got a cat called Jinx.
And she also has. Well, it could well be. You know,
there's no could well about it.
There's another line of questioning you might like to pursue. For those people who are a bit confused now, and I probably include John Wenham at this particular moment of time because he's thinking, he hasn't even mentioned my diary once in that sort of point
it's
of view.
It's a tortie.
It's what?
A tortoiseshell.
Oh, there we are. The Jessica, carry on with your line of questioning.
Okay, yeah, back to Jessica then.
Possibly about
hi, Jessica.
What Alan's
hi.
Book is.
Do you have any events coming up or anything? Do you have anything you'd like to share with Midweek Drive?
Yeah, I'm doing something in May, apparently. It's a sort of keynote speech takes place halfway through the day.
Yeah.
And it covers...
Telefantasy and
Lake
Society.
Seven, Battlestar Galactica, Prisoner. Also, there's an event coming up on the 19th of... is it March? It's that thing in North Wales, isn't it? What's it called? Alex probably knows more about it than I do, but apparently I've been invited along there as well to
there is
blog
a,
books and stuff.
There is a Comic Con in North Wales.
No, is it a Comic Con?
It's some event.
Starburst used to run it, didn't they, years ago, and it was taken over from them. Remember?
Yeah. And we will be speaking to Ed Fortune from Starburst in a week or so's time.
Yeah, but they don't do it now, do they?
No.
Who does it now?
I think they're still connected with it, but let's not go there because we haven't done our research, and I hate things which are under research. I think it's just a dreadful scenario, and we should avoid it wherever possible. So
you're the guy who didn't know her cat was called Jinx.
Finding out the names
what
of
what sort of research is that? I mean, everyone knows whose cat's who, don't they? You know what her cat's name is.
How long did it take me to recognise that your cats were Aisha and Zhukov?
A few years, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm sorry, but when it comes to cats' names, they're cats, okay? I mean, it's the end of, you know, Tigger and Flash, and after that, you know, it just becomes a blur. Yeah, that's the classical routine.
Tigger and Flash.
Speaking of which, Alan, have you got any advice for Jared, who in how long do you take before you attack these, speak to these young people?
Well, as soon as I get out of the studio,
I'm
on my way.
He's going into a school and he's going to talk to, how old are these people going to be?
Year 9, 10 and 11, so it's kind of 15 to...
Adolescents.
Yeah.
Yeah. What advice, Alan, would you give Jared, who's going to actually speak to these people about why going to study journalism at the University of Lincoln is a really outstanding thing, and if they don't choose to do it, basically their whole lives will collapse in a complete cacophony of disaster and chaos, and they'll be gnashing and weeping and wailing of teeth, and they'll realise they've made the biggest mistake of their lives ever.
Well, that's a good one. I journalism. It's a bit of a dying art, isn't it, really? You know, I mean,
it's been to the journalists.
A lot of newspapers seem to want people to write for free from now, don't they?
Well, I mean, we didn't say we'd actually provide careers in which people were paid. I mean,
no, you can get paid for it. You might turn up and they'll throw you a
book. We've got to work that out for ourselves.
Very important. So, no advice whatsoever then, Alan?
Well, yeah, no. I remember when I was at college, my radio thing courses involved journalism. We had a girl there, a woman there from who previously worked for The Sun, and she was quite a nice person. But but that was 1995, so we're going back a bit now. I think journalism was a bit more healthy then, wasn't it?
Well, hopefully that helps, Jared, but I don't suspect it will, really.
If you place yourselves in the situation of the year 10s and 11s, what kind of questions would you ask? Jared?
If I was 10 years old?
If you were 14, 15 or 16, what sort of questions would you put to this young man who's coming? He's got a lovely suit on, it's almost sky blue. he's working there, he's got a lovely he's all sorted through there. He's got waistcoat in there, it's very stylish. He's got all the gear.
He's got it all.
Exactly. So he's coming in to talk to you. What would you actually say to him?
Hello, nice suit.
Exactly. So check out the lining, and if you're a really good student and work hard at school, you too could actually have a suit like this.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up perfectly. Last two questions.
Well, you could say, look, either if you know if the Tories win the next election, either you'll be working for free anyway, or you can do journalism.
Nice. But that might be a bit too political, perhaps. Maybe just step away from that. Just a little touch. Alan, it's been extraordinary, surreal, and quite frankly, quite strange. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Morning Edition, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good.
It was fun.
Good.
Everyone was nice to me.
It's
true.
We do try.
Are we able to catch up with you again in the very near future?
Sure. I'm available for, you know,
weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, apart of course from May the 6th.
Funerals, yeah.
And indeed sometime in March when he'll be off to Wales, 19th of March. That's happening. Jared, thank you for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
Be wary of the school. Very scary place. you'll do fine, I'm sure. And Jessica, have you enjoyed the programme?
Oh, yes, of course.
Excellent.
Every time,
back again next week?
Yes.
Not next Wednesday.
Because
she'll be netballing.
That's
Make
right.
sure you win back on the Thursday.
Okay, no pressure.
Thanks to Chloe Middleton and Rosie Crest from the Lincolnshire Event Centre and Lincolnshire Countryside Area. Thank you, dear listener, for actually being with us. And thanks to Alan Stevens, William Sitwell, Mark Turnbull, Ian Lennox, Richard Fitzwilliams, Professor Jane Chapman, and Richard and Dr. Aluviare from King's College. That's a happy trails. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And don't forget, coming up after the news, we have Media Madness.
Oh, great. Together.